Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Writer's Block with Jim Cristina, Bobby Bell, and Richard Polinelli, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome back to LA Talk Radio's very own Writer's Block. I am your host, Jim Cristina, on a very snowy Thursday evening here in Star, Idaho. And it snowed to beat the band today. In fact, I will guarantee you that our engineer, Mr. Sam Hansen, sent me a message back saying, wow. And Sam, if you're listening, Russ's Skype address is atomic.dog.radio. So you might try that. And hi, Bobby Jean from our little town of Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Where we just had blue sky and moderate temperatures. Yeah, no snow here.
Not for long. Well, as you know, Richard is on his way up to or down to Texas to go get his mom. I think he's moving her up to Wisconsin. So he will not be next week.
Hello.
I was so glad that you could deign to join us on this wonderful Thursday evening.
It is a wonderful one.
It is indeed. And it's like, as I said earlier.
Bob's face, I wouldn't think so. You look serious, Bob.
Hey. I'm just kind of waiting, my turn.
Well, your turn is coming up, Bob. Right now, the voice you hear is the magical Mr. Russ Avison. Of course, we don't see a face. But we do have a voice, and we'll just make that work. And right now, let's bring in our errant reporter that just couldn't seem to get his phone answered 2 weeks ago, Mr. Henry Park. Hello, Henry.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Bobby Jean. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
I know it's a little late to be saying it, but Happy New Year.
There you go. Happy New Year back.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. News for this week is the announcement that Justified is coming back to FX, with Timothy Oliphant returning as Raylan Givens. I'm excited.
Limited series, yes?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't hear it was limited. We'll find out if it stops suddenly. If that's the big Western news for the week, the big Western news for the month has to be the success of the new Western series 1883, which had the biggest premiere of any cable drama since 2015. The first episode of the show, and I'm quoting this exactly from Variety because I don't know what it means, delivered 2.6 million viewers and a 0.41 rating in the key ages 18 to 49 demographic. Have you been watching it?
I think that's big.
That's just like this show.
Yeah.
Well, I like this show. Brilliant writing.
Right. Well, it's Taylor Sheridan. He writes everything now.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it's a prequel to the staggeringly successful Yellowstone, whose season 4 premiered November with 14.7 million viewers and closed 81% higher than the third season closer. I thought they were very smart to premiere the first two 1883 episodes after Yellowstone episode.
Right.
But of course, to see the rest of it, you have to subscribe to Paramount Plus, which was a no-brainer to me after seeing the first two.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, as you say, Taylor Sheridan writes wonderfully, directs with great confidence. When I talked to him a week before principal photography started, he told me the premise of the show, and he said no one had done this successfully before. And I got to say, my immediate thought was Wagon Train ran for 8 seasons. But when I saw it, he is right. The nuts and bolts of moving across the country at that time amid all those dangers has rarely, if ever, been done this well before.
Right.
And it's just full of scenes that are not variations on a theme, but things you have not seen. and in a genre where it's almost impossible to do something new. I think it's shaping up to be the best made for TV Western since Hell on Wheels. And unlike Hell on Wheels, this seems to be getting the attention it deserves.
Right.
Mm-hmm. By the way, did you notice with the opening credit who produced it, the production company that it's out of?
No.
Is it MTV?
MTV.
Yeah, MTV.
Yeah. Who?
Yeah, and MTV.
Oh, yes.
Music people. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, at first I thought this was kind of out of left field, but do you remember what company produced Lonesome Dove?
No, not offhand.
Anyhow, it's a very interesting and unusual thing that's happening to companies that are making their own Western movies these days. Henry, the Tim Blake Nelson Western, is from Shout Factory, who's mainly been in the business of selling DVDs of TV series. Mm-hmm. And a new Western that just came out in December, is available on Prime and lots of places, The Last Son, starring Sam Worthington, Heather Graham, Thomas Jane, and all of our favorites among us rappers, Machine Gun Kelly, is from Redbox Entertainment, the people with the kiosk at your 7-Eleven.
Oh, interesting.
Well, I figure we must acknowledge the passing of a great filmmaker and a great film historian, Peter Bogdanovich, from Last Picture Show to Paper Moon to What's Up, Doc. He famously befriended and interviewed so many great directors, Orson Welles, Howard Hawks, John Ford. But did you know that if it wasn't for Bogdanovich, while he was filming The Last Picture Show from the novel by Larry McMurtry, the two men started planning to make a Western together. McMurtry wrote the screenplay, a story about former Texas Rangers and their cattle ranch, and Bogdanovich got commitments to star from John Wayne and Henry Fonda and James Stewart. Then Wayne backed out because of health problems, and the whole deal fell apart, and the script sat on a shelf for decades until Larry McMurtry remembered it and thought, maybe there's enough here for a novel. And now, as Garner Ten Armstrong would say, you know the rest of the story. And you can read all about this and so much more at www.henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
Okay, thank you, Henry, and we'll be talking to you in 2 weeks.
I look forward to it.
All righty then. Thank you. Talk to you soon, Henry. Bye-bye.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Well, our guest tonight, I'm just going to get right into it because I know he's over there chomping at his bit and adjusting his hat. And he's probably snuck a bottle of almond tequila into his studio and he's sipping away. But,
there it is.
Crown Royal.
No, that's Crown Royal. I haven't opened. It's just
why,
on my desk.
Why haven't you? I can go get my bottle too, you know.
I don't drink that stuff. I drink.
Well, I, you know, this guy's got a hell of a biography from Pittsburgh, did radio all the way across the country. I mean, he's been thrown out of more radio studios than I could even count.
Yeah, probably true.
He found you wound up at KNX 1070 in Los Angeles as one of their lead news readers. He also has written several books on the Westerns, starring Lancer, Hero of the West. He is a former co-host of the Writer's Block and the author of a brand new book that looks to be like it may be growing up the ranks here pretty quickly. The name of the book is The Tattoo Murder, and I'd like to welcome back to the Writer's Block for a guest appearance, Mr. Bob Brill. Bye, Bob.
Hey.
Here, let's give you the clap.
Okay. Well, yeah, I need penicillin for that, by the way.
So. Yeah, I'll bet.
Guys, it's so good to be back.
It's great to have you, Bob. Just great to have you. And I have to say, having worked on this book, I've read it more times than I care to think about. I love this book. I absolutely love this book.
Thank you so much.
And actually, I'm going to bring up something that Russ said earlier about some of your sentence structure was a little odd. But it actually almost had to be for this story.
Yeah.
and your character, I'm going to let you tell about the story of the book, but wow, what a read. I am so impressed. And I'm impressed with you, Bob.
Thank you. I think to answer the question there about the sentence structures, probably because sometimes my mind gets blurred between writing a screenplay and writing a novel. and, you know, because the two are different, and I have to try to, you know, figure out where I'm at, and oh crap, I can't write that way. It's like, you know, that's a screenplay, and I have to describe what it is as opposed to letting the viewer see what it is. You know, so that's part of the problem there. But and it, sometimes I just don't catch it, and I'm glad it worked. I mean, I really did. I actually wrote this book almost 10 years ago. Almost 10 years ago. Yeah. And I just put it on the shelf. I wrote it too racy in the beginning, and I had to go back and change it and just, you know, clean some of that up. I think the bad thing about it was, or actually the good thing, I can say, I let my daughter and my sister read it, and they, no, Dad, you can't say that. No, Bob, you can't say it. No, it's horror. I hate it, you know? And so I did clean it up and changed it somewhat. I still had the same ladies in the story, and I still had the same incidents in the story, but I just kind of changed the language a little bit and took it back a step. And but basically the story is about an Italian-American police officer who's a detective who works in Ventura, California, which is, we all know, is a seaside community. It's a step down from Santa Barbara. It's between Santa Barbara and Los Angeles. And I was living there when I started writing this, or actually when I wrote it. And a crime comes up that is, no problem telling you, the first page, the body washes up along the shore. And it turns out to be not just a plain old murder. It becomes more complicated than that. And John Potenza is a former Army vet who served the U.S. and as a ranger in Bosnia. And so he has that as his background, as well as growing up in Ventura. And his family is there, his mom and dad. His mom is a thick accented Italian war bride, you might say. And it's just a very complicated story, and then it takes a lot of different twists. And describe him in as far as his women are concerned, you might say that he is sort of a local James Bond when it comes to his women. I mean, it's just, he has a lot of them. He has his main squeeze. I didn't want to offend, but at the same time, I wanted to be out there. I wanted to be out there with it, and I wanted to be hardcore with it. And it was probably long. It is definitely longer than any other book I've ever written. So,
yeah, it's pretty long. Russ, you got any?
You know, the thing is, it didn't seem long. When you got, it took a chapter or two to get rolling, but once it got rolling, I mean, it was nonstop. It was awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Also, I have to tell you, I really enjoyed the locale, mainly because, you know, not giving any away, but parts of the place at the.
Oh.
So I'm reading this. Did this happen when I was there?
Well, one of the things I did with it, and I think Jim and I have discussed this previously. When I created this, I wanted to put a timeline in, and the timeline I have in one of my other books, which I have to one day get back out there. But in the timeline in this one, where every scene, it tells you the date, the time of day, and where. And I think the comments that I've had from people, I think that's a part of it. It allows you to put the book down and come back 2 days later and know exactly where you are. And it also allows you to look at it and say, well, gee, the next break is only 2 pages away. I'll read the next 2 pages. Well, the next break's only 3 pages away. I'll read to the next 3 pages. And I think that helps speed it along. And I really enjoy that. And if there is a sequel, it will be have that same flow with it. So.
Yeah,
interesting. Oh, I just want to say that I found myself as I read, and I needed to do other things in between reading it, and I specifically marked that I would get to the next page where all of a sudden there was a new locale. That's where I would stop, and I'd pick it up later on at that point.
Yeah, it worked well. Guys, don't go away. We got to have a real quick word. And this is LA Talk Radio. You'll be right back after this brief word from LA Talk Radio. If you have never listened to LA Talk Radio, then you need to treat yourself to one of the best online live radio stations around. If you have listened to talk radio and, let's be honest, found yourself saying, I can do that, well, there's slots available all day, Saturdays and Sundays included. And we are looking to fill those slots with high-quality broadcasts from talk hosts that are in the know. If you think you have what it takes, go to www.latalkradio.com and click the link that says Become a Host. Then just follow the simple instructions. Before you know it, you'll be joining the legion of radio folks that got their start right here at LA Talk Radio. That's www.latalkradio.com. You have something to say. Now let's hear it. LA Talk Radio. And we are back in the studio with Mr. Bob Brill and, of course, Bobby Jean Bell and the elusive Mr. Russell Avison. God, it's so good to have you back, Russ.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, you're welcome. And if you want to call anywhere. Oh, yeah, you too. And if you want to call and talk to Bob, the number here is 323-203-0815. And again, that number is 323-203-0815. Okay, Bob.
Yeah.
When I first got this book, I asked you specifically about the dates and times and places. And I said, do you want to do chapter breaks? And you said, no, I really want to keep those in there. Well, as it turned out, because Tuscany Bay published this book, as it turns out, the dates, times, and locations are perfect chapter breaks. So it really, I mean, we didn't have to do anything. All we had to do was put them in there.
I'm glad to hear that. It saved you work.
It did. Well, not only did it save us work, but it also worked for the book. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm all for anything that works for the book. So, I mean, you know, we didn't hardly do any, well, actually very little editing at all. And it just, I mean, the book flowed so well. Oh, we were just like so happy with this book. It's one of seven breaking between December and April. So, you know, you were the first one. So congratulations on that.
Well, I'm glad you're on first at something. Book.
We actually are first. Bobby Jean.
Hey, Bob. It's so great to have you back.
Also, good to see your smiling face.
I just have two. It's a phenomenal book, and I did not get to the end, but I will be back reading it as soon as we're off the air. So I can't do much in the way of spoiler alerts because I haven't finished yet. But I have one comment and a question. Yeah. So my first comment is he's sort of like James Bond, except the women don't die. So thank you very much. seemed like if you were a James Bond girl, you didn't make it past one scene. That's and true. Literally didn't make it out of the movie, probably. And of course, I think of him and you describe him as a guy every man wants to be and every woman wants to be with. And I think it's a really adequate description. Thanks. I love his family. I love
so
that
relatable.
It's a very functional, relatable family, and that you give them all dimensions. There's even the bad guys are multi-character developed in this book, and I really like that about it. I did have a question about dating it, which I thought was perfect. Again, replacing chapters. But you placed it in 2012. Mm-hmm. Now I understand you did it. You wrote it 10 years ago initially. So that makes sense. But I felt kind of like you could have placed it any time there aren't lots of, there's some things about the phone and I think there's some texting. There's, you know, it could have been placed this year or last year. Well, COVID would have probably had to come into the story. But did you just decide to leave it at 2012 because that's when you first wrote it?
Or? I did. Okay. I did because a number of reasons. Number one, I would have had to go back and reevaluate the technology and some of the other things that kind of go along with that when you set a book in a specific time frame. Like Jim and I have discussed many times, when you do a Western, if the character is going to be in 1883 and he's on a riverboat, you have to make sure that the riverboat that he's on is a riverboat that was built before 1883. It could have been built in 1885. So I didn't want to, and this is a pretty long book, so I didn't want to have to go back and do all of that. And I think you guys know me well enough that I work fast, and I don't like to, once I start, I don't want to go things like that. And I really felt that I was going to miss something if I did. So that was the main reason for that, especially because the ages of the individuals, where they were, in other words, I had him being a veteran of Bosnia. Well, that was the 90s. So I couldn't, you know, that's something I would have really had to change. And I had Lieutenant or Captain Stone being a veteran of Vietnam. And so that would have put him like 30 years older. And he would have been almost as old as Jimmy Christina.
But not quite.
Jim was in Vietnam, and and that was one of the things I thought about with this too, because there are a few Vietnam references, like now and things like that.
Okay, got it.
Did you have your hand up, Russ?
No, I'm just totally engrossed in the conversation.
I did want to point out one thing that, you know, Jim and I had a long discussion about was I wanted this book to be a book that when you read it, you felt you were there.
Right. Uh-huh.
Nothing else, which the timeline helps, but also the photographs. We took current photographs of Ventura and put them in the book, like as if it's real.
Yeah.
Because they're pictures of real things. And that was one of the things I wanted to do. And I think Jim did a really wonderful job with that. It's interesting because I looked over my original photographs because 10 years ago when I first started laying this out. And what I wanted to do at that time was it was sort of a test. And I would, and maybe this is a better time you could do that. You couldn't do it today. You'd probably get arrested today. I literally, with the camera, went up to several women in Ventura who fit the mold of the characters, the female characters, and on the street, on the beach, wherever. And I said, you know, excuse me, I'm not a child molester. I'm not a, you know, a whatever. But I
that's the line that sets them off, you know.
Yeah, I know. And I said that, you know, I'm literally doing a test for a book that I'm writing, and this is what I want to do. Would you mind if, and you fit one of the characters, would you mind if I took a picture? I want you to turn your face away. I don't want to see your face. And it won't be used. It definitely will not be used. I promise you that. And it's not going to be used anywhere. It's just sort of for me to just evaluate, because if I do that, I'm going to have to get, you know, model releases and things like that, and probably have to pay them for that. And I didn't get turned down by any of the women. And it's funny because I still have, in my photo files, I still
have. You have their pictures, yes, yeah. And I got none of them.
So you are John. You are Johnny, in other words.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that was one other question. There are a lot of there are a lot of sex scenes, John, with a number of lovely ladies, and yet each one is unique and different and engaging reading. I was curious, kind of, how did you as a writer sort of, did you have to set the mood for yourself, Bob, to write those scenes? and if you did set a mood, what all did you do?
Well, I don't know if I should answer that because my wife's going to see this later. I guess thinking back, and it's, you know, I'm a screenwriter, and I try to use that and vision envision every single scene when I write it, and I think most writers do. And but I kind of got into it, and you never saw the original, so we'll leave it at that. But I kind of I don't know if I set the mood, but maybe I did. I didn't sit here with a bottle of wine or a bottle of wine or anything like that and candles. But I just kind of thought about, I guess, my good friend Carol Lieberman, who's a psychiatrist who really wanted me to publish this book after she read it the first time, would probably try to psychoanalyze this. So I'm not going to go there. But I kind of felt that what would I do if I were John Potenza? How would I treat it? Realizing that these were mainly casual, but affair. I don't like the word affair. Casual relationships, encounters, I think is more. Except for his main squeeze, Jen, who he goes back to, and she wants it that. She likes it that way. Mm-hmm. She wants to be casual. She doesn't want to be tied down, and neither does he. And so I think in that respect, yeah, I kind of set a mood, but it was in my mind more than anything else. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where I went with that, yeah.
Right. When we were doing the book and we brought Bob brought up the pictures, he wanted to put in like 50 pictures. and we said, no. You get like maybe four pages in the middle of the book and we'll put some pictures in there. So pick the ones that really are going to show the locations that the book takes place in. So that's what we wound up doing. But the first picture in the book I really, really like, because that's on Beach Boulevard at Seaward and looking towards the Ventura Pier. Yeah. And it really to me set the tone of where this story takes place.
Well, the funny thing is, my wife and I were going up to shoot the pictures. My wife took most of the pictures and sees the Paula J. Brill is photo credits in this, and because she's a really conscientious photographer, and so we were sitting at the In-N-Out Burger. Right there off of Seaward.
Right.
And she looked at the sign and she says, I think you ought to take a picture of that sign. I think that says a lot. And I said, yeah, I finished my burger before her because I always do. And I got up and I took my phone and walked over there, took two or three pictures of that sign. And she goes, you did it. I said, yeah, I mean, it's your idea. So you're still gonna get the photo credit. And so that's where it came from. And it's totally her. And I mean, she just has that eye and that knack that sometimes I don't have. And so I saw the sign, didn't faze me at all. She pointed out, I said, oh my gosh, that's perfect. You know, and you recognized it right away.
Oh yeah, and, totally.
And that's right up front in the book. It's aside from the four pages of photographs.
Right. Well, I have to break up your frivolity here, guys, but we have to do another ad. So hang tough. You're listening to LA Talk Radio. This, of course, is the Writer's Block. And we'll return right after this brief message from Amazingly That Tuscany Bay Books. I was sitting in my private office looking out my private window, dropping private eye drops in my private eye. When a tall blonde walked by, and now you asked me how I know she was tall, my office is on the second floor. And then there was a knock on the door, so I jumped out of my chair, I tripped over the couch, I unlatched the latch, and there stand a beautiful blonde holding a manuscript, and I said, hi. She said, hi. What can I do for you? I said, well, she said, I have a manuscript, and I want my book published. And I said, well, you've come to the right place. This is Tuscany Bay Books, and that's exactly what we do. Why don't you come in? And we'll have a drink on it, but all I have is a bottle of ink. So we drank that and stood around feeling mighty blue. But you don't have to feel mighty blue, because at Tuscany Bay, we'll not only format your book, we'll proofread it, we'll edit it, we'll get it printed, and we'll bitch you a cover that will make your head spin and make you so proud of the work that you've done. Tuscany Bay Books, you can't go wrong, and you can find us on the web at www.tuscanybaybooks.com. And if you see a blonde walk by,
I have to ask you something, Jim. I just heard that commercial and you said she was high. My big question is, how high were you?
Oh, are you muted?
Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah, I think well,
there we go. We're back. See, I told you, Bobby, I did. This is the first time. And if you want to call and talk to Bob, although I don't know why, yeah, the number here is 323-203-0815. And okay, Bob, let's get into the nitty gritty and the meat of your existence here.
All right.
You've been writing for a number of years now. You do mm-hmm. screenplays and you do short movies and mm-hmm. you do a lot of stuff. And yeah, you still find time to work at KNX. And, you know, I don't know when you sleep, but occasionally it's probably, what, 2-3 hours a day?
Something like that. Yeah. Twice a week I do overnights, so I don't even know when
exactly.
I think I'm sleepwalking at times.
The question I have is, when did you really discover that you really wanted to start writing as far as come off of screenplays and go into novels, i.e. Lancer and, and John Potenza, because what a great character. I want to see him back. But and you left a big space there for book number two, I have to say.
I would tell you the title of the second book, but I'm not ready to announce it yet. But I've decided to write it.
Okay. So when did you decide that you really wanted to get into writing novels?
Well, I think I always did. It's just I was kind of, even as a kid, I always wanted to write a book. I think the first two books I wrote, Fan Letters to a Stripper, a Patty Wagon Tale, which is more of a coffee table book. And then I had an idea. I wanted to do the book on the internet, which was, I can't think of the name of the book now. And the other one I had an idea that I wanted to do as well. It's just things I really, really wanted to do. I always wanted to tackle a Western, but I didn't want to do a nonfiction book on the Westerns and some of the other books, just because of the time that I would have to take for research. Uh-huh. And it became my lifestyle, and I'm off to do something like that. We just shot a documentary, an hour-long documentary on the 1971 Sommar earthquake. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of research in that, but I lived it. I lived that earthquake, and I was a senior at Sommar High School at the time. So, you know, there was a lot that I didn't have to research. We did do a lot of research, but not as much as we would have to do if we had done a documentary that you didn't live. So, but I guess probably in the 80s and maybe early 90s, I really, really decided I was going to write a novel. It just was going to get around to the point of doing that. And then I think what really got me going to write the Western Lancer Hero of the West series was our time that we all spent up at the Cowboy Festival in Santa Clarita. And I just, you know, hanging out with Eric Heisner and everybody who was up there and you guys. And I really credit Bobby Jean for that, because I had gone up there one year to cover it for KNX. And then she was so kind to me and said, you know, you ought to write something. And I that kind of spurred me on a little bit. And I did. And then I was back as in the author's tent with you guys. And so that was a big impetus for me to write novels, especially the Westerns. And I had written El Cabo in the meantime, which was a terrorist novel set in 20 years after bin Laden. And that's still out there. But this one, I decided at one point, it was something I wanted to write. I wanted to write a crime novel. And I wasn't sure where it was going to go, but I had some ideas that I wanted to make it unique, such as the photographs or the timeline, and that's kind of where I went with that. So,
well, I mean, it really you captured 2012. You know, you couldn't have put this novel in modern day times. I think mostly you were absolutely right in leaving it where it was,
mm-hmm.
because you captured that particular year. Yeah.
It did, except, you know, some of the attitudes, especially toward women, it reminded me more of the 70s.
Almost, didn't it?
Yeah, except there was one part where Potenza was he was with this one woman, and he thought he knew where he wanted things to go, but then he thought, well, if she says no, that means no. And it was just that was a little more current, but the attitude of particularly the cops toward the women, it seemed to me 1970s. Mm-hmm.
I was very conscious when I rewrote it. Well, didn't rewrite it, but when I refined it, of the a lot of the attitudes of today, you know, and I, you know, while I had to keep in the character himself and the way he was and the time period, I still had to make sure that I didn't go overboard because I knew that there's going to be people out there because of the women and that kind of stuff. I'm going to have haters. I know that. That's anything you do, you're going to have haters. So I just, you know, that's going to happen. It's going to happen, you know. You just kind of live with it. But hopefully there will be more non-haters than there were haters. So.
Well, you know, it's amazingly enough. Hang on, Bobby. It's amazingly enough that the name of your character, just going back to what Russ just said about the attitude, some of the attitudes of the cops and stuff, it's quite the thing that you named the character Potenza, which in Italian is, do you know?
Yes.
Power.
Power.
It's exactly what it means. So.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? You know, I named him Potenza because Potenza, Italy, is my father's ancestral home. My grandfather and my grandmother came from there in 1896, left Potenza, came to the United States in 1896, eventually settled in Pittsburgh and lived and died there. And my father was born there along with his brothers and sisters. So, and I've been to Potenza many times, and my best friend in all the world, who has since passed away, was in Potenza. He was born and raised there. And I wanted to, two things. Number one, I wanted to honor that city and my heritage because I made him Italian American. But at the same time, I wanted to make it so chances are there aren't too many John Potenzas out there. I know of one that has contacted me and said, hey, I joined reading because my name is John Potenza. I thought it was kind of cool, you know.
Okay, Bobby, let her rip.
The book is called The Tattoo Murder. Mm-hmm. And obviously, tattoo and the tattoo parlor play a big part in this book. And I thought that was also very interesting. I wondered, today the tattoo is seems more acceptable than mm-hmm. Commonplace, where maybe in 2012 that was still something new, more new, and maybe you did see it in areas like an artsy spot or a beach community. I thought it was very interesting what we discover about tattoo parlors in this book. Did you have to do some research on, did you already sort of know what was going on with tattoo parlors?
Yes and no. And I say in Ventura, in real life, all at that time, all the tattoo parlors, and they were everywhere. There was probably one every 2 to 3 blocks throughout the city of Ventura, and then through the county as well, were owned by the Hells Angels.
Oh.
And they, that's a fact. That's a definite fact. And not long after I got there, somebody decided to open a tattoo parlor without the Angels' permission, because that is the corporate headquarters of the Hells Angels, and Ventura is. And funny thing is, within a few days, it burned down. Mm-hmm. And I had a good friend whose first name was John, not Potenza, who was a police officer there who used to come to my store, and we became friends. And there are no new tattoo parlors opened up in that fashion. And then all of a sudden, they start springing up all over, and they mm-hmm. weren't authorized or owned by the Hells Angels. And John came into my store one day. I had a baseball card store there at the time. And we were talking. I said, hey, John, I'm kind of curious. What's happened here? I thought they had to be operated by the Angels. He goes, well, we got pretty close. We're getting close on solving that fire. And somebody opened one, and they didn't react. And all of a sudden, the floodgates open. And now there's a ton of, even more than there were before. Between, to be honest with you, between massage parlors and tattoo parlors, those are two of the main businesses in Ventura. And it's a great community. It really is. It's not quite as, you wouldn't say it's as sophisticated as Santa Barbara likes to think it is, but it's quite a different community. It's a really pleasant community. It has its quirks. It has its downsides, and it's very not as segregated as it used to be. But that was, so I knew about the tattoo parlors, and I had gone into many, although I don't have any tattoos. I'm just not someone who got them. But at that time, you know, there was really becoming a boom. And I think I quoted a tattoo could cost you $300.
Yeah.
And that's true, depending on the artwork. Matter of fact, the pictures of the tattoo parlor in the book we took not long, just a couple months ago. And those are real. Mm-hmm. They're pictures. Mm-hmm. And we walked in and said, this is what we're doing. I don't want to put your name in because I don't want anybody to get, you know, give you any hassles or anything. You know, that's okay. I told him, I can't put your name in. And if I have to put your name in, I can't use your shop. He goes, no, that's okay. And I told him, I said, I don't want to put it in because I don't want you to have any problems. And he understood when I told him what the book was about and everything. So that kind of worked mm-hmm. out.
Go ahead, Russ.
Yeah, getting off the subject of tattoo parlors, but I was kind of interested in, because I as Bobby Jean mentioned earlier, the characters really were there. I mean, it wasn't like James Bond, for example. You don't know a lot about James Bond. He was pretty superficial, but your characters were fairly deep. So with Potenza, how did you come up with him as far as like a background? What was the process in your mind that got you to, here's the character?
Well, I think basically what it was like, I mean, you're as you're writing the story, it takes off and has sort of some legs of its own. And you kind of have to follow those trails. But I kind of, in a way, I sort of boxed myself in with Potenza because I wanted this character to be certain things. And it's Ventura, so I made him a surfer, which is a big part of his personality. And I knew a lot of surfers, and I knew that mentality, although I'm not one, I barely float. And I kind of fashioned a lot of the characters, like Luis Sanchez. Luis Sanchez is actually a really good friend of mine. He's one of my best friends. And we actually, the picture at Sanchez Cantina in the book is him. It really is him. And So he was kind enough to say, yeah, sure, I'll be in your book. And the cousin from Camarillo really is my cousin, you know. And so I was able to fashion some of those characters on real people and then expound upon it and add the fictional stuff. But the Italian family wasn't my family, but it's sort of like my dad, but the mother I created based on, I think, a couple of aunts of mine and a couple of other women I knew. And I like to do compilations of people, so that's kind of where I went.
Gotcha. Okay. We got time for one more ad, and then we'll be back with you. So you're listening to LA Talk Radio. This, of course, is the Writer's Block, and I'm looking at the lovely face of Mr. Russ Evison. And we will be right back after this short, brief message from Creative Edge Publicity. Okay, you've written a book. How are you going to get your name out there? Well, the folks at Creative Edge Publicity will. That's their job. They aren't going to sell your book. They don't want to sell your book, but they will take your brand from the ground up so you are known in your genre and within the writer's community. They'll do this by using relationships with contacts they've made in TV, in radio, podcast, and publishing to get your name and your brand recognized. So why are you waiting? Contact Creative Edge Publicity at www.creative-edge.services or email Mickey Mickelson at mickey.creativeedge@gmail.com. Creative Edge,
It's your work and it's your brand. Why would you trust it to anyone else? Creative Edge Publicity.
And we are back with Mr. Bob Brill, of course, Bobby Jean Bell and Russ Avison. And Bobby Jean, would you like to ask the question?
Let's have Russ ask. He isn't going to
answer. We only have 2 minutes,
okay,
Bob.
So go ahead, it. Russ.
Okay. Okay, Bob. So, as you know, the question is, have you ever had writer's block? And if you have, how did you get through it?
Good man.
The basic answer is no. I don't think that I ever
I guess that have. Wraps up the show then.
For some reason, I never really have. I think my mind just kind of is going all the time. A lot of times I'll get an idea for a book or a movie or something just by driving down the street, and I'll see something happen, and I'll have a scene in my mind, then develop something around it. So I never really have. I can't think of a time that I really have at all.
Okay. Well, you know, Robert, we are out of time.
No.
Oh, my God. There's so many more things we want to talk about, but we just don't have the time. In ebook, paperback, and hard edition, both in Amazon and all the online booksellers. So if you haven't read it, grab a copy and get into it. You will love the book, especially if you're a mystery aficionado. You will love this book. It is a lot of fun, and he does leave a big hole at the end for book number two.
And I will add this one note on that. Book number two is actually going to be based on a case that I covered as a reporter many years ago. So
Okay. Bob, thanks for deigning to be with us on our trivial radio show tonight, because, you know, we always love world-class authors, and you're one.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I love world-class hosts, which you're one.
We are. This is the epitome of radio. Okay. Next week, we have another, actually, Mickey Mickelson client on with us, Mr. Terry Shepard. And he'll be joining us with, of course, Russ, would you like to join us again next week?
You know, I might. I'm going to be up near Lake Casitas, but maybe so.
Oh, well, we'll have to figure that out. If not, Bobby and I can handle it. We're kind of used to this. Terry Shepard will be with us next week. I want to thank you, Bob, for joining us tonight. We know that you always have something to do with an hour out of your day, and we're glad you spent it with us.
Thank you. It's just so good to be back with you guys.
It was totally fun, and you're going to have to come back and visit again. You're always welcome to be a co-host if you want.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're a galloping guest co-host. Incidentally, Bob's book is, of course, published by Tuscany Bay Books. So there you go. Okay, that's it for tonight. Thank you again, Bob Brill, Bobby Jean Bell, for her husband, Jim, Mr. Russ Avison. Bella says hi. Myself, Sam Haston, and, of course, the bookie, without whom this show could not be possible. And we are out of here.
You're listening to Writer's Block with Jim Christina, Bobby Bell, and Richard Polinelli, only on LA Talk Radio.